Can you just assist me, just round up members to log in now, because we are almost 3 minutes to nine, please. Thank you.
Okay.
Please now.
Is it doing that now as we speak, Jerry?
Okay, thank you, man. Thank you, Ness.
Morning, everybody.
Morning, Ness.
Morning, Ness. Hello, Pietro. Okay.
Online.
Forward to a real meeting, physical, to see all you guys and all the honorable members.
Good morning, honorable members, honorable chair, and people and the members from the department. Thank you very much for coming. Chairperson, I can see we've got the quorum now. Members of the committee, the majority of them are all here in this meeting. Thanks for coming. The delegation from the Intercape is also here on the in the platform, Chairperson. I think at this stage the meeting can proceed, Chairperson, because we are now correcting. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you so much. Mr. Boltina, let me see.
I'm here, Chair.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Boltina, for also flighting the agenda, because I was about to request that you flight our agenda. My name is Tandima Mbehlala, for the purposes of those who come to this meeting coming to the meeting for the first time. My name is Tandima Mbehlala, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism. I'm with my team, honorable members, the whip of the committee, honorable Shelley Makubele Mashele, Mamushila Kreko, Mamelina Gomba, honorable April, hoping that he came back as well. Honorable Mbushe and Honorable Mieni, Honorable Defreitas, Honorable Gumbi, and Honorable Winkler. Those are the portfolio committee members that will be interacting with you, the team in particular from Santaco and the Intercape. And we looking forward to your presentations and productive deliberations after that. Let me also take this opportunity and welcome our team, support team from Parliament, and the team from the Department of Tourism. I saw the office of the DG is here as well. So feel free to present to us, Team Intercape and Team Santaco. We are all ears, and we have availed ourselves to your presentation so that we get to know and understand what is happening in the sector, and our intervention thereof, what should it be, and it will only be informed by the presentations itself, so that we're able to move forward in unison and seamlessly in these things that is raising on your presentation with us. I'm also going to request that your team leaders introduces the entire team of people that is here with us on virtual. And it is true that we need to start holding our meetings physically moving forward, because at least we are able to do that now. But we have to prepare for that as well. So I welcome all of you and thank you very much. I'm going to allow you, Jerry, to table the apologies, if there are any apologies. And from the apologies, then we should straight to the presentations. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Sir, in front of me, the apologies that I have, they are two. The first apology, Chair, I've received is from Honorable Myeni. Honorable Myeni has apologized because he is attending the Portfolio Committee on Transport, Chairperson, because of the agenda of that they are having, which I suspect it could be the legislation. So he will be in that meeting. Then the second apology, Chair, I'm not sure whether you have seen, I sent you a message from a site. The president of SANTACO has also apologized, and he has requested the committee to give them another possible three slots where they can choose the suitable date for them, because this, the 23rd of August, is really not suitable, so they are unable to come, Chairperson. So they have sent that apology. I've indicated to them that the third term of Parliament is a very, very short. But I will table this apology to the committee, and then I will hear what the committee is saying, and then whatever decision of the committee, I will take it back to them as well for them to consider and see what we can do. It's just a pity, because we thought that this meeting will all be under one roof or under in one platform, so that we can look at the matters that are challenging us in order to formulate our response going forward. So those are the two apologies that I have, Chairperson. Therefore, it means that our agenda, we will only have one presentation from the Intercable Bus Services, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Boltina. We can't guarantee any other slot to SANTACO, because, as you said earlier on, we are going to be very busy and our schedule is tight. But we are going to look into that outside of this meeting. So without further delays, let me allow the team from Intercape.
Chairperson.
Why are you shouting my name now?
Chairperson, that's Honorable Myeni.
Yes.
There's something which I want to correct. I heard that Boltino said that I did apologize. I don't hear him well.
Yes.
It's Ms. Myeni. I'm in the meeting.
Oh, you are here?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Right. I wanted to say Mr. Sithole, Chairperson. I'm so sorry, sir. I wanted to say Mr. Sithole.
Mr. Sithole.
Yes, yes.
Hi, Jerry. Hi. Okay, thank you, Honorable Mien. Let me allow the team from Intercape to do their presentation, but it will be important that the team leader, Mr. Ferreira, okay, introduce the other people that are here with him before he start with the presentation. Welcome, sir. The platform is yours.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Joan Ferreira. I'm the CEO of Intercape. I will be doing the presentation this morning myself. I don't have any other members that will participate in the presentation. Thank you.
You can proceed.
Okay. So, good morning, everyone. I will share with you our presentation this morning. Chairperson, honourable members, thank you for the opportunity to address you this morning on this very difficult issue that we are facing. I will be as brief as possible. I will take you through a PowerPoint presentation which deals with the summary of attacks, summary of interaction with the taxi representatives, summary of interaction with the authorities, outcome of engagement with the authorities, current legal proceeding, and the way forward. The summary of attacks, Intercape and other bus companies has been under attack since 2015-2016. These attacks at the time were of a intimidation nature, where taxi operators will come to the bus stops and prevent passengers from being loaded, also from preventing passengers from being dropped at certain towns. There was many meetings held at the time, 2016-17-18, together with the Department of Transport in the Eastern Cape, the police, the traffic department. The taxi organizations questioned the validity of the permits of the bus operators at the time. I must stress, this is not an Intercape issue. This
recording is in progress.
So the attacks escalated since 2019. And again, I must stress that it was not only against Intercape, it was against all the long-distance bus operators in the Eastern Cape area. At the time, in 2019, letters were sent to the Public Protector, Minister of Transport, and the provincial regulatory entities with no help at all. There was no response. Nobody came to our... These attacks were recorded by all the bus companies. 80-plus incidences since the start of 2022. During 2022, you terrorize them until they go away. So that's what's happening in the Eastern Cape. Let me just see here if I can move this thing to this side. Yeah. So that's just a population of a Canada that shows you the intimidation, the stoning, the shooting, and the taxi, the meeting with the taxi associations. Interaction with the authorities. Now, again, I must just say that to keep the presentation short, it's important to note that the interaction with the authorities were happening since 2016 already. Where the involved and called out in numerous incidences where the taxi the operation of coaches. At the time, there was no stoning, there was no shooting, but it was intimidation and threats. So, as I say, it started to escalate in 2019 to the stonings. It became more violent. And during 2022, on the 13th of April, Intercape addressed the Nat Joints Police Committee meeting for 2.5 hours. 14th of April, we met with the Western Cape POCC. On 20 April, we met with with the Western Cape POCC. 26 April, there was a stakeholder meeting engagement with Advocate Tsi, who's the state attorney. 28th of April, meeting with the Western Cape SATS and the Western Cape Department of Transport. Again, 6 May, Nat Joints meeting. 13 May, meeting with the Premier of the Western Cape and his cabinet. I've informed them extensively on the issue. 27th of May, telephonic discussion with the Eastern Cape MEC, where the Eastern Cape MEC requested Intercape not to stop in certain towns because she had a meeting with the taxis after there was a blockade in Aditya. To demands of the taxi.
Recording in progress.
Made at the different police stations. We formally engaged with the police on the 13th of April. Remember, there was extensive letters written over many, many years about this issue to the different authorities. And I will deal with that in a moment. Interaction with the authorities. As I said, on the 27th, there was this this discussion with the MEC of the Eastern Cape, and she requested us not to stop to these specific towns, as I just mentioned. Letters to the authorities. So there you can see 24th of February, letters to the MEC and the Minister of Transport. 4 May, letters to the President of South Africa. 27 May, letters to the DPCI. 31st of May, letters to the MEC. These MECs are the MECs of the Western Cape and also of the Eastern Cape. That was on 31st of June, 31st of May, 5th June, 6th June, 6th June, and also letter to the DPCI, 6th June to the Nat Joints, 15th June to the Minister of Transport, that's the National Minister of Transport, and again 20 July to the Nat Joints. So the outcome of these meeting and engagements, it was then decided by the police to escort the coaches in the Eastern Cape. It also gave us an opportunity to engage with the POCC and other provincial ORS heads, Eastern Cape MEC for Transport. As I say, at the moment, we've now been limited to only operate out of Mthatha. From the Minister of the National Minister of Transport, there was no engagement. The Presidency, no engagement. There was no engagement from the National Minister of Police, Becky Chele. In the Western Cape, there has been arrests made, and which we are very grateful for. The Western Cape also taken the lead to invite us to a portfolio committee or standing committee meeting in the Western Cape. So most of these attacks, you can see here, these are taxi operators that blocked the road, that blocked the buses, that intimidated the drivers of these coaches, preventing passengers from being loaded and offloaded. And all this information has been handed to the police. It is important to note that there are onboard cameras. This specific incident, you will see a car with a registration number and you will see a person with face on the right-hand side. This was a shooting incident. In the Eastern Cape. This type of information has been forwarded to the police. They are in possession of that. That's the Western Cape shooting at our depot, at our premises. That coach was shot at basically 50 meters from my office where I sit in Cape Town. The application in terms of the MEC in the Eastern Cape, Minister of Transport, in that order, we are seeking that the MEC and the Minister have an obligation to take positive steps to put in place measures to ensure the safety of long-distance bus drivers and their passengers, specifically in the Eastern Cape. The MEC and the Minister, now this Minister is the National Minister of Transport that we're talking about. So this is the MEC of the Western Cape and the National Minister of Transport have an obligation to cooperate and coordinate their efforts with the South African Police Force and not work against what was already agreed and put in place and nullified what was happening on the ground. That the MEC's action to suspend and require Intercape to enter into negotiations on inter alia price with the taxi operators were in fact unlawful. The MEC and the Minister must, in consultation with South African Police Force, develop a comprehensive plan to ensure the safety of long-distance bus drivers and passengers in the Eastern Cape. This is an extraction of what we are seeking with the interdict. The status quo at the moment, as I say, the attacks are still happening. There are empty promises from the national and also the Eastern Cape authorities. There are assistance from the police at the moment. There's only arrests that was made in the Western Cape, not in the Eastern Cape. And remember, most of these attacks, about 128 of the attacks happened in the Eastern Cape. I'm very worried about that because of the fact that there's no coordination on a national level, seeing that these attacks happened in Gauteng as well. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no long-term solution at the moment. If there is no national intervention, these perpetrators will take their acts of terrorism to other provinces as well. What we have here is that this is a bus that was bought and services was introduced from the towns that Intercape are not longer allowed to operate from. This individual, Bonki, he is a representative of Qatar. He is the one that chaired the meeting in East London, prescribing how the bus operators should conduct their services out of the Eastern Cape. Since Intercape and other operators are not allowed to operate from the towns I've mentioned earlier, the taxi operators has now taken it upon themselves to buy buses, and they are now rendering these services. So you see, this is a clear indication of taxi operators targeting the long-distance bus operators or the interprovincial bus operators and systematically driving them out of an area. And they have succeeded that that goal. They succeeded in that goal in the Eastern Cape effectively until now. Intercape reported to the authorities this incident, and also this particular coach was impounded in Cape Town because it had no legal authority to carry passengers. It had a permit on board which allowed this particular bus operator that he bought the bus from to do charters in KwaZulu-Natal. And the permit also expired. So it was a charter permit of the previous owner that expired in 2020. So they impounded the bus on a Saturday. The Sunday night, the attacks resumed in Cape Town by shootings on the Sunday night and also on the Tuesday night. So again, a clear indication that there is a direct link between these attacks and the taxi associations. So that concludes the PowerPoint presentation, and I just want to conclude by saying this. I'm deeply disappointed in the fact that my letters that were sent to the President of South Africa came back unanswered. The letters that were sent to the Minister of Transport, Mbalula, the Minister of Police, Mr. Chele, came back unanswered. I want to request this portfolio committee to take this matter to the National Assembly, because this is a matter of national importance. I am deeply concerned that no action or a lack of action on behalf of national government and specifically the Eastern Cape has led to the deterioration of the situation in the public transport sector, specifically the interprovincial bus sector. Both these ministers cannot say that they are not aware of the issue. They are acutely aware of what's going on. Furthermore, Intercape has also written extensively to the Department of Transport about the failure of the Minister of Transport to fully implement the Land Transportation Act. And I also believe the fact that this act was never fully implemented has contributed hugely to the situation that we are facing at the moment. I can address you on that subject a little bit later or at another occasion. The last thing I want to say is that I'm grateful for this opportunity to address you on this matter. Intercape has just bought 40 coaches for the charter and tour division, which effectively makes Intercape not only the largest intercity, interprovincial operator in Southern Africa, but also the biggest tour operator with the largest fleet of coaches. Now, I don't have to tell you what will happen if a coach gets shot at and overseas tourist gets hurt or injured or even killed in such an incident. Bear in mind that the shooting incidences in Cape Town in broad daylight happened about 500 meters from the border of the international airport in Cape Town. The shooter was standing on the bridge as you come out of Cape Town, as you come out of the airport on your way to Cape Town City. It was on the bridge at the airport where this incident happened at 5 o'clock in the afternoon in broad daylight. It could have been two coaches carrying tourists to the city that just arrived in South Africa. Can you imagine how the South African government are going to explain that to the international community? So this is a matter of national importance. I believe this is a matter that the president should take cognizance of, and I would demand that this committee and other committees bring the two ministers, the Minister of Transport, the Minister of Police, to the Assembly, the National Assembly, and let them answer to these issues. It is high time for government to take this issue and come back with a solution. If Intercape should not be in business, then they should tell me. But if Intercape has a right in terms of its permits and its good standing as a good citizen in South Africa that's paying taxes and is law-abiding, then it should be protected to render such services. But for me to talk to another committee and another radio station and another television station and another newspaper is not going to help. It's not going to save the lives. It is only the action of the president, his two ministers, and the police and the anti-crime units in the South African Police Force, crime intelligence, that can make arrests and put an end to this extortion, this racketeering, the collusion, the intimidation, the threats. Thank you very much for your time. I'm open for questions.
Thank you very much for your presentation, Mr. Ferreira. Honorable members, that was the presentation with the sensitivity of the matter as presented here. I hope honorable members will assist us also to come up with an intervention strategies on the matter and the pictures, they are so disturbing. I think about the people who were passengers in those buses that fell there. It's something else, but however, let me first allow the members to deliberate on the presentation. I see one hand here of Honorable Gomba, followed by Mamukas Kego. Comrade Honorable Winkler, Honorable Makubela, and Honorable Manele. This Honorable Gumbi, I see no hand of yours yet. So when you are saying that your hand is up, where is the hand? Because I don't see the hand here. And also, Mr. Poltina, can you accept Honorable there's a member here that says that he wants to be accepted on the charts. Can you check that?
Sorry, Chairperson. Honorable Gumbi, my hand function is not working, which is why I typed in the text that my hand is up, but it's not working. I don't know why it's not available on my platform.
Your hand is not available on the platform. Which gadget are you using?
I'm using my MacBook, Chairperson. It happens from time to time.
You must go to reactions, then you will see the raising of hand. Meanwhile, I'll note you. But please go to reactions, then you will find the function there. Then you are going to follow Honorable Manele, and then after Honorable Manele, it will be Honorable April. So in that order, Mamukomba.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And let me welcome the presentation by the bus company. Honorable Chair, this presentation is a disturbing presentation because I see a very big threat of tourism in the Western Cape. And Honorable Chair, and the lives of the people also who are passengers, because tourism is not about international, but also from province to province, interprovincial tourism is very important to us. And this is really having a negative impact, these criminal acts. I want to criticize and really say these anarchy actions and criminal action from this association that is fighting the Intercape is actually killing us in terms of the tourism growth in South Africa. I therefore call Honorable Chair, the Minister for Community Safety, the Minister for Transport to really interact with the Western Cape local government or the city of Western Cape to really deal, work together in dealing with this taxi associations which are aligned and contracted to the local municipalities or to the city of Cape Town. Because the national department may want to intervene, but without the assistance of the Western Cape, city of Western Cape, it will not work out. And also, arrest must happen. We cannot leave this anarchy to continue happening and threatening tourism and criminality happening the way it is happening. I criticize it. I really would like to say this is not good and it must be stopped with immediate effect. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Gomba. In that order, members.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everyone. In the platform, I also greet the representative of the bus company by the name of Intercape. Chairperson, you understand as per presentation that the Eastern Cape is highly affected as most incidents are mentioned. They are happening in the Eastern Cape. It's good, and I appreciate that we have invited these two transport authorities. Though Santaco is not here, but Intercape is here. I just want to bring to the attention of the committee also that there has been a lot of deaths in the Eastern Cape as a result of these protests, and also those that happen in the Eastern Cape. Those drivers that are killed there and those people that are affected there come from the Eastern Cape. That's why I'm saying Eastern Cape is highly affected. I wanted to ask Chairperson, the presenter, if their company belongs to any association. But I get it during the presentation that they have pulled out of the association. He is mentioning some reasons to pull out, but if he is able to disclose some of the reasons, if possible, I may be glad just for us to have the other side of the story so that we are able to do our own assignment as the committee. Chairperson, I once witnessed an incident in Dujwa because those buses are operating also in my area. There was once a standstill of the N2. There was a community protest. Nothing was happening. The transport industry downed tools and that affected the N2. The town and the N2 were at standstill. All the stakeholders in the town met under one roof in the presence of the MEC of Transport. I want to check if their representative as Intercape was in that meeting. If yes, what were the resolutions? Because the stakeholders were there. And the taxi associations that are operating in the areas were there. If no, what plans do they have? Because this problem is affecting everyone in the Eastern Cape. You'll remember, Chair, our interest as tourism is a safe transport for commuters, is a transport that is on time and reliable, and also those affordable and low-cost prices. We are also interested in that as, because as a committee, we have a mandate of promoting domestic tourism. So if there are any associations or companies that can produce affordable prices, low-cost prices, that is our interest. We encourage them to do that. The question that I also want to ask is about the issue of subsidy. If the company is subsidized by government, I understand, Chair, that transport is a business. Business has got competition and monopoly. There's also monopoly. As I hear from him that the ones that may be involved in the protest are now buying buses and operating in the areas where they are affected. I wanted to ask if they are subsidized as a company. I want to ask another question, because he's saying in the area of Mthatha, they are operating with less or no incidents. What is it that they are doing right around Mthatha that is not happening in the route that passes Butterworth, Dujwa and the Kai, right to Queenstown and other areas? If we may get that. Chair, I would advise that the company in the Eastern Cape, they must also, if they are not getting cooperation, as they are mentioning in their presentation here, that they are not getting assistance from the MEC, they must also conduct the premier of the Eastern Cape, so that if there is no cooperation there, at least the head of the party, I mean, get the head of governance in the Eastern Cape, may do otherwise. There are issues that I want to raise also, Chair, that we understand that safety is the mandate of SAPS, transport is the mandate of the Department of Transport, but we must not leave out society, because safety is also a societal matter. We must bring in society. So other stakeholders are also important in the matter. Where they are saying they are not getting responses from the president, I don't think the president may respond directly to them, but I don't think nothing is happening. I think the president may contact the head of transport and other people that have a mandate to take care of the safety of communities and the buses themselves. An advice to the company is that they must not isolate themselves. I think if the reasons are not that much threatening to them, they are pulling out of the associations, they may rethink of going back and joining those associations. That's just an advice. They are free to take or not to take, but it's good when you work within an association, because as a committee, sometimes we are interested in the things that cut across whatever. That's why Santaco was brought to the to this committee, because it's an umbrella body of some taxi associations. But as a committee, we will continue to, even before bringing, if we are going to bringing the matter in front of Parliament to be discussed, we may continue contacting other relevant and responsible departments, as we normally do when something involves tourism. Chairperson, I think what has been presented in front of us is a crisis in the transport industry, highly affected the people of the Eastern Cape, and there are risks, Chairperson, because people are dying. And tourists, may more tourists are affected during these protests, because sometimes there's shutdown, there's no movement. So our mandate is the committee is affected. I wanted to bring those points, Chair. I may come back. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mamukhego. Honorable Makubela.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings, honorable members, Chairperson, and also to the representatives of Intercape. Well, I want to start my comment by mentioning the fact that every life is important, even the lives of South Africans or the lives of international tourists. As we are navigating this issue, trying to find solutions to this pandemic that has engulfed this transportation sector, we need to put every life important. And we need not lose any life further than this. Hence the situation needs to be arrested very soon. Ours as a portfolio committee, our mandate is on tourism. But tourism, we know that it's a sector that relies on other sectors for it to be able to flourish, for it to be able to be functional. We rely on road infrastructure, we rely on transportation to transport and ferry tourists to the various destinations that they may be visiting, be it international or domestic tourists. Hence, we are concerned about this violent attacks within the transportation sector. That is the reason we have convened this meeting and wanting to listen to the stakeholders within this sector, this transport sector, on what are the problems, what are the challenges, listening to them. We've listened to the presentation from the representative from Intercape. it will be important, Chairperson, that we also, from this meeting, try to solicit an audience or an engagement with the Portfolio Committee of the Eastern Cape and the Western Cape, so that we try to get a synergy and we do not work in silos in trying to assist these stakeholders who are in this space, who are now frustrated. But from what I hear from this gentleman, he has just echoed his frustrations that they are knocking in every door and they are not getting joy or assistance, given the complexity of the challenges that involves safety and security, that involves also the transport department. However, since we are also coming into the space as those that are custodians of the tourist part, we are also now trying to put our heads and trying to arrest and assist the situation. I will also want to encourage the gentleman not to pull out from these engagements and these associations, because as we are engaging with the stakeholders, we are going to want to find them organized. We are going to want to find them under the same roof and starting and beginning to engage and talk to each other. And I want to just comment and say, this is not the end of our engagement. The Portfolio Committee is proposing, or according to our program, in the near future, we will be having a colloquium where we'll be having the transport sector, the safety and security police sector. We'll also be having tourism stakeholders who are going to be together on the round table and also deliberating on these challenges and this pandemic. I want to call it a pandemic because clearly where the lives of ordinary citizens are put at risk, it is a violent and it should be classified as a pandemic that we should be arresting and putting all our efforts to ensure that no life further than the lives that we have lost are lost in the process. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Makubela. Honorable Winkler.
Good morning, and thank you, Chair, and thank you to the gentleman from Intercape. What I've heard this morning is highly chilling, and although this falls under the purview of the Department of Transport, I do believe that it has a cross-cutting implication, especially when we speak of the impact it could have on tourism. As you say, if there were some international tourists that were caught, for instance, in Crossfire, this could have a very lasting, indelible impact on the tourism brand in our country. And we already know that it's plagued by incidents of violent crime. So I think just to echo some of the similar sentiments expressed by my colleagues on this portfolio is that we really need to have engagements with all the necessary stakeholders. And it is quite a pity that Santaco representative isn't on this platform today, but to maybe then facilitate a discussion with the Portfolio Committee on transport as well as on policing. And then as I think my one colleague said, maybe in terms of COC to engage with our provincial counterparts in provinces where this issue has escalated. But I do also want to say that this issue is actually becoming, I think, more and more prevalent and more of a crisis. In my constituency, I was recently approached by the transport operators who, again, there seems to be a lot of fighting over routes. I think that what's happened with the pandemic is that people are really desperate to eke out a living and are looking at any avenue or route to do so. And it's obviously causing a lot of friction in communities. And so we must find a lasting and amicable solution that looks at diplomacy and sitting down and talking about this before things escalate into worst sort of violent or worst violent incidences, and that it has been happening and what I've been seeing. So yes, I fully advocate this cross-cutting and departmental engagement, and also across the spheres of government, and for us to convene some sort of forum as soon as possible so that we can arrest the violent incidents that are transpiring. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Winkler. Honorable Manelli?
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to members and also to the representation from the Inter-Cape. Chairperson, I think I can't emphasize more on the mandate of the committee in relation to this man-made pandemic. I believe that it's man-made because really a human element is involved in this one. It would have been more fruitful, Chairperson, if we had Santago today. In noting its apology, Chairperson, I believe that at some point we will have to engage them as well, because we need to have a biased feeling on the matters that are affecting the tourism, especially in relation to the transport sector of tourism. Chairperson, I must say, as other members indicated, I'm also so dismayed by the violence that is being experienced by innocent citizens that are only desperate for transportation. Because most people that are affected there are those people that rely on transport for whatever business that they may engage in. On daily basis, people commute, and we can't just downplay that. In every situation, they need to be protected. They need to feel safe as commuters. So now they're being exposed to violence that has got nothing to do with them. Chairperson, I think as this portfolio committee, as Honorable Makubela has said, that we need to engage the portfolio committees of the two provinces, especially the Eastern Cape, because these matters are more prevalent in the Eastern Cape. We can't operate in isolation, Chair. These are cross-cutting matters that needs proper engagement. So as the committee, the sooner we get to engage with the other stakeholders, then the better, and probably we'll have a lasting solution to these matters. But Chair, in terms of my question to the CEO or the gentleman, is that does he believe that the attacks on Intercape are being exacerbated after he has pulled out on the association, or what? Is there now a specific target on Intercape bus line? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Manelli. Honorable Gumbi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So, I mean, Chairperson, this is a bit of a difficult one, because I think as a portfolio committee, our role is to basically protect and promote tourism. And so this has an effect on domestic tourism. It has a significant effect, in fact. But a large part of this is all criminal conduct. It's crime. I mean, businesses obviously have a right to operate. As long as they're operating within the bounds of the law, they're not breaking any law, they must be able to do so and do so freely and enjoy protection from the states and the government. And so I think that the question then should be, how does our portfolio committee intervene, and what can be done immediately? And the reason why I say immediately is because I agree with what other colleagues have said, that it is actually an emergency situation. And so I think that the first thing, I think we must accede to one of the requests which was made, is that we need to put our own pressure on transport, police, and even intelligence to be able to make this a kind of a top priority. And so I think as a portfolio committee of tourism, we should write officially to those portfolio committees that we received a presentation. It is concerning, especially for tourism, but however, a lot of the matters do fall within their realm and that they should be able to deal with it. And if we can do that formally as a portfolio committee, you know, we're able to assist the situation to make it a greater priority. I think we should also, as a portfolio, write as well to the ministers of those departments as well as the presidents, because I think that when you've got an emergency situation and some of the role players are writing to those representatives and they're not responding, I think that it's upon us to be able to take that forward as well. And what is really, really also obviously concerning and why it's important that we do that so that it can be addressed is that we don't want a situation, and one of the honourable members spoke about it here, saying that all lives in essence should be protected and are very, very important. But we don't want a situation whereby at the moment you're having many people who are taking buses, many people who are from working class families who are dependent on this transport. There's so much violence and people's lives are being taken and it doesn't get taken seriously. Then what you have is a situation where a bus of tourists from wherever they might be, from France or whatnot, who get shot and some tourists die, and then only there is action and it's taken seriously. It can't be obviously that, you know, we in essence value some lives or some groups more importantly, and that's how it's going to come about. So if in my suggestion as a portfolio committee, if we can take those two steps, at least we begin to help the process forward in the most immediate way, and then we can carry on with the other steps in terms of the long-term solutions. But I do think that it's very, very important that we take some kind of action now. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Gumbi. Honorable April.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to all the members of the Portfolio Committee. I would like to welcome the presentation. It is shocking, disheartening, displeasing, and absolutely disgusting to see some of the images that we have seen and the report that comes from what has happened. I have been enlarged, covered by many of the colleagues who have spoken before. You know, Chairperson, I am myself an Intercape client who from time to time take my family on a bus, and I could have been on one of those buses that were shot at, so I take this thing in a very, very serious light. But we should not forget that there is a lot of monopoly and bullying that is happening in the sector, and this inequality is one of the driving forces, except for the criminality. We will have to look at systems that we put in place to make sure that these kind of bullying from the taxi operators and the monopoly that is being run by the bus operators, we should look into how we can make the playing field equal with that regard. Chairperson, there's something that the presenter mentioned that is not sitting well with me. The first thing is the demand, the collusion and the corruption that is mentioned by the presenter. Now, you know, these are strong words, and when it comes into the portfolio committee and it's mentioned and it's not addressed, or we don't request that, you know, wherever corruption rears its ugly head and collusion and these kind of things, and someone makes mention of something like that, it's a matter of concern for me that has to be taken up with the police, and I would then want to request from the CEO of Intercape to go and lay charges so that there can be investigations that is going on, because when there is corruption and money is exchanging hands illegally, there is things that is not necessarily for this portfolio committee, but it's a police matter. It is a matter that could be investigated by the Hawks and so on. And that is something that I take in a very serious light and would want to not say that the CEO must tell us now here, because we are not police and investigators, but he should really go think about opening cases so that he may have references, and that our police, we deal with the corrupt elements that is within the system. I thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. I have concluded.
Thank you, Honorable April. I'm going to give Mr. Ferreira the platform now to respond to the questions which were raised by honorable members. Thank you, Mr. Ferreira. The platform is yours.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members. I would just like to say that I welcome all the comments and suggestions made by everyone. Much appreciated. I take heart of everything that was said here today. Allow me to respond by saying this. Everything that was said, I can back up in terms of an affidavit which was already filed with the NAT Joints under Brigadier College. It was also filed at the Western Cape, and it's now also in possession of the bilateral meeting between the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape. So they have all the evidence. They have my affidavit, and it's been reported to the authorities. Insofar as the associations that we don't belong to, let me just explain to you that there is no long distance bus association. We tried to form one to try and be a united front against these bus attacks. And I decided at a point in time to not continue with the membership of Intercape. Reason being that Intercape has decided not to negotiate with the taxis, not to agree on price, not to agree to their demands, not to hand over the keys of the company to the taxi associations effectively, where they would be running this company. The other bus operators, out of, I guess, fear, I can't speak on their behalf, best is you talk to them. I'm happy to give you their names. That was also affected. And they decided to go and talk to the taxis. I pleaded with them. I pleaded with them on more than one occasion to come to the police, to make a case, to explain how we're being extorted as bus operators, and they chose not to. I have taken a decision to file an affidavit. I've also taken a decision to report it to various law enforcement agencies. And it's now up to these national and local law enforcement agencies to act upon the 150 cases of violent acts and murder and extortion. And it's out of my hands. You know, I can only take it so far. As far as the meeting of the taxis in Ayutthaya is concerned, that incident happened on the 27th of May, and it was the taxi associations that protested against the presence of the bus companies, in particular Intercape in Ayutthaya. And yes, they blocked the N2 for a whole day, and yes, the MEC of Transport came and sat down with the taxis, and it is after that meeting that I was phoned and told that I should not be operating out of Kofunvaba, Dutra, Butterworth, Norbo, and Tsomo. So, I mean, Intercape has been in existence for 36 years. When permits was first granted in 1986, Intercape got granted one permit to operate between Cape Town and Port Elizabeth. Intercape is a private company, and at the time, Greyhound, which belonged to SAF Marine, and Translux City to City, which belonged to government, Transnet, or to PAX, got granted networks. Networks, in other words, they could travel throughout South Africa. Greyhound subsequently changed hands in terms of ownership. It went to Tollgate. It went bankrupt. Then bought by Unitrans, which was wholly owned at some point in time, or you know, majority shares held in CUP, and CUP was a company owned by Steinhoff, which was in the press lately. Now, we all know what happened to Steinhoff, and subsequently to the pandemic, Greyhound's been liquidated, their assets has been and these buses are now run bus operator in South Africa. Autopax has been run into the ground. As far as I'm concerned, they inherited 570 coaches with the World Cup in 2010. And some of those coaches are still running. Translux are operating one or two departures out of Cape Town. My problem is this thing about bus companies and monopolies. Intercape is a private company. It has never received any subsidization from the state, where we have competed for and still competing against government, highly subsidized Autopax through PRASA, through Transnet. So I want to stress by saying, if an entrepreneur in South Africa that has built a business over 36 years, that has run an effective service without breaking the laws of this country, running a business within the parameters of the permits, why should this company be made out to be a dominant operator? If it does its and it conducts its business in a lawful way and in a better way at a very competitive price to the passengers. So I just want to make that point very clear. Never received subsidies from the state. It has outperformed a parastatal, highly subsidized by the state. It has outperformed a public company, and it has succeeded through COVID, where other companies have fallen by the wayside, to come out the other end just to be terrorized by an industry that is effectively got nothing to do with long-distance bus operations. And I must just say that a taxi was never designed to do long distance. That's why so many people are being killed by taxis. There's no sleeping compartment for the driver. It uses the same tires as a normal car, uses the same brake system as a normal car. It was never designed to run 300 or 250,000 kilometers a year. So what the long distance taxi associations and the taxi operators do, they're using vehicles which is never designed for the work that they are doing with it, where coaches are international standard coaches. It is designed by Germany and Sweden and all over the world, and it is the best coaches and the safest coaches that money can buy. A coach will cost you today 7 to 8 million rand. So this is the type of investment we're talking about. So in short, there was many suggestions made, and I can summarize in saying this, that Intercape is a law-abiding citizen. It pays its taxes. We're not breaking any laws. We've been operating for 36 years. It is not a subsidized company. It is not a company that will participate in collusion, racketeering, extortion, paying bribes. It is a company that is based on godly principles. And it is a company that is proclaiming the word of God on all the coaches throughout South Africa, because we believe it's our purpose, and that's what we're here for, to build God's kingdom on earth. I invite the Department of Transport to tell me what we have done wrong in terms of the way we conducted our business throughout the 36 years. All our coaches got permits. All our drivers has got public driving permits and licenses. All the coaches' licenses are fully paid. All are paid. All the fine is paid. And I think the Cape should be protected and allowed to operate its services as any other business should be allowed to conduct their business and also be protected by the South African police force. I have extensively addressed the bilateral meeting in East London, reminding the police about Section 204 in terms of their responsibility towards the public of the Republic of the people of the Republic of South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ferreira. I see the two hands. Are they legacy hands, those hands, honorable members?
Mine is not legacy, Chair.
Okay, continue.
Yes, Chair. Thank you for the responses from the representative of the bus company by the name of Eastern Cape. I forgot to bring to the attention of the bus company that in the Eastern Cape, there's new leadership in the Department of Transport and Safety. You see how the those two departments are structured. Maybe good for the crisis that we get from the presenter that is in front of us, because transport is also with safety and lies in the Eastern Cape. So they must be ready to update the new MEC on the crisis that they are experiencing, because as I am a social media person, I observe the trend there that the people, the commuters, like their services. What they are afraid of are the risks associated now. So I think they must be able to update the new leadership of the department. And I appreciate what you other members of the portfolio committee have mentioned. Some suggesting that we may, as a committee, even meet our counterparts just to get closer to the crisis. And also wanting to highlight that this is also an intelligence matter. You know what is associated with the industry. There are risks, there's whatever. So it's also an intelligence matter. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just wanted to bring those facts. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. And also thank Mr. Ferreira for availing himself and present to the portfolio committee on this particular incident, which many of us were not, or some of us were not aware about. And I want to also say we will, as a portfolio committee, take the matter up. Honorable members have also raised the reality of a cut crossing the responsibilities for our portfolio committee, then it will mean that at the level of parliament we will initiate a meeting between transport and the portfolio committee on police, so that we are able to deliberate on the matter
hoping that when we invite you next time to come and present to these portfolios, you will avail yourself. And we'll also rope in the NCOP, which is the National Council of Provinces, in that particular meeting, so that whatever decisions that are taken, we move in unison and, you know, implement what needs to be implemented as a collective in ensuring that we assist the company, because to us, the safety of the South African people is very important when they want to visit other provinces with a bus. It's very important. And this time around, there is a demand on the buses because the flights have become very expensive in the recent times. So the demand on the buses has returned. And we are taking this responsibility because what we have presented to the portfolio committee also will reflect that on the international community that wants to visit our country. And we are now bound to also take responsibility to say these are the measures that we are going to follow in mitigating what has happened, particularly in the Eastern Cape. Perhaps in that meeting, we will also have the progress report on the incidents and the number plates that are visible of cars that committed crimes and what have you. It is clear that these were acts of criminality, as honorable members have said. So the law must take its course. I don't want to say it's a pity that Santaco is not here. I want to say now I understand why on the last minute Santaco decided to pull out of this platform, because it was also an opportune time for them to come here with the Intercape and present their challenges, all of them. So perhaps they anticipated that Intercape will raise many issues and the what you so call allegations labeled against their people. So, Mr. Ferreira, in short, we have noted everything that you have shared with the portfolio committee. It is a process, and this term is a term which is so intense in terms of the work of Parliament and the schedules of the portfolio committees, but we will ensure that before the end of this term, we meet with the portfolio committees and then bring you along so that you also present to them. And Mamukhego is privileged because she is an honorable member from the Eastern Cape originally, and she is more clued up about the incidences which you were raising on your presentation. So also that the information that she has beyond the one that you have shared with us, perhaps in that meeting of us as members of Parliament, it will be shared. So without wasting more of your time, I'm going to again thank you, and that we appreciate the fact that you came to us and presented the report as disturbing as it was. I think it is good that you did not edit anything so that we understand the magnitude of what this has caused, not only to Intercape, but to society at large, and people who are your clients, and so thank you very much, Mr. Ferreira, for coming here, hoping that Petra from the office of the DG also has noted all that was presented and will share and report back to the DG of Tourism on all that has been presented here and what we are going to do as the portfolio committee in terms of the follow-up on the matter. And I want also to address this thing. It would be remiss of me if I don't respond to that the president is doing nothing or the president has done nothing. The president has appointed ministers. And it is those ministers that should be liaising with the stakeholders on a day-to-day basis, especially when there's a crisis of this magnitude that has arisen. So both the transport and the police ministers are the ones that we're supposed to be interacting with you as a company and report back to the president, because it will be difficult for the president to respond to these matters, because if you respond to Intercape, you must respond to CATA, CODETA, and all these other organizations out there, even those that are outside what we are deliberating on now. But because there are those people who are supposed to be a conveyor belt between society and the president won't be able to respond to matters when he has no information. It's even worse. So that's what we need to understand in terms of the responsibilities of the president and the crisis that arises out there. The first point of reference is the ministers. So we hear and we take that you never got any response or intervention from them. Now we are saying as portfolio committee, we are going to intervene and in ensuring that at least there's answers on all these incidences, because they've got a negative bearing on both domestic tourism and those people that visits our country. And it's going to be that time of the year very soon of receiving international tourists and what have you, and some of them will need your services. So with this incident that impacts badly on our name as a country, we got to ensure that we intervene. So on that note, Mr. Ferreira, we have come to an end of our meeting. And thank you very much for availing yourself and giving us such information, which we knew nothing about. So if there's nothing else, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.